Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful sunny day, bringing us here to this meeting to talk about these amazing foods that you have created for us. We ask that you would give us power and strength and encouragement and inspiration to enjoy these healthy foods so that we can have a healthy body, mind, and spirit, where we can understand your calling toward us and that we will have energy to serve. And we thank you for the time here today. Impress our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome again. This is Wednesday, isn't it? Yes. At our cooking seminar, we're talking about how to create healthy foods in a hurry. And that it doesn't take forever to be in the kitchen, but you can have some really great things for your family. And hopefully you are inspired to even share this in your community. Today's feature is about roasted vegetables. This is one of my favorite ways to cook, is in the oven. Because usually when it goes in the oven, it doesn't boil over and it rarely burns. My sweet potatoes today got a little bit too roasted, some of them, but the two vegetables that you tasted today are beets and sweet potatoes, two of my favorite ones to roast, and I just scrub both of them. I did not peel them. I scrubbed them and then cut off the pieces that needed to be trimmed and then cut them into bite-sized pieces and put it in a prepared pan. And I really liked what Joanne said yesterday, which I don't do yet, but I'm going to, is that she prepares her pan with a mix of lecithin and oil, and that keeps it from sticking. What I did was a little bit of olive oil on the pan and then just put the pieces of beets. And I really like using the pans that come with the oven. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those, are they porcelain? I don't know what they're made of. Does anybody know? But the oven pans, and I think both of them are pretty much a mess. Esty, could you get the pan that I roasted these vegetables in to show them? But they roast, I feel like that they roast a lot better in these pans that come in the oven than the other pans that I buy. But you can even do it in glass pans. Yeah, they're a mess. Yeah. And this one happens to have some remnants that you didn't want to eat. But these kind of pans, do you get these with your oven? Yeah, like this. But I don't want you to see what I already did. And then the sweet potatoes, I usually wash them, you know, maybe the night before. And then it is just so easy just to cut them into bite-sized pieces and put them in your pan. And sometimes I'll put different ones there. Of course, these beets might run a little bit and onto other vegetables, so take that into consideration. I also do squash the same way in cutting into small pieces. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Joanne was telling you to use a heavy-duty carrot peeler or vegetable peeler. And it's so much easier if you leave it whole and you can just do this. It just peels really, really fast. Can you see what I'm doing? Yeah. And then, you know, just be really careful when you're cutting and try to always cut with a flat side. Put it down and then cut it with the flat side, because it can sometimes be pretty daunting to peel and cut these things. You know, they're pretty hard. But then you take the seeds out. If you want to do the vegetable, another one that's a longer cooking would be the carrots. And I usually I love organic carrots. I think they even taste better. And so I just scrub those and cut those into bite-sized pieces, and I don't peel those either. There's some great nutrition in the peeling as well. And sometimes then I'll have just quicker cooking vegetables that you roast. And cauliflower and broccoli, asparagus is amazing. Roasted, have you roasted asparagus? Yeah, so you just put that in. I just put them longwise in the pan with just a little bit of olive oil and salt. That's all I put on the vegetables today, is just a little bit of olive oil and sprinkle some salt, and that's what I like. Cabbage, just cut the cabbage into rounds and just put the rounds in there. And sometimes I'll do the cauliflower like that. So you have this big slab of cauliflower. It's thin, and then it kind of gets brown on the edges, and roast them that way. Of course, zucchini and red peppers are also really nice roasted. Any other ideas on roasting vegetables that you do or you have? Yes. Yes, the longer cooking ones will need to stay in the oven at least an hour, depending on, and this oven was a little different than mine, and some of them got a little brown. But usually it's at least an hour on 375 or 350 for the longer ones, and then about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, depending on your oven. I usually use a higher temp, sometimes even a 425, depending on if I'm right there watching it for asparagus. And can flip it if it needs to be. But some of these, you know, these would just take 15, 20 minutes on a high oven. It depends on how long they're, I try to look to watch them to see if they need to be flipped. And usually it's the asparagus, you know, you can just kind of shake it and they kind of roll around. Yeah. But I love roasted vegetables, and people who don't like vegetables usually have a different experience of eating vegetables when they're roasted. Yes? Is there a different? I think roasted is just a higher temperature, and baking is more of a longer temperature and a lower temperature and a longer cooking time. And roasting is a dry cooking method, so you don't have moisture. You have a little bit of oil for roasting. No, you put bake. Yeah, you put it on bake, but then you just dial it up to 375 or 400, depending on what you're going to use. The other? Yes. If you have a roaster, you have a roaster on your oven? Oh, then that's even better. Yeah. And you can also do these on the grill if you cook on the grill. The other thing that I love to put in the oven is tofu. And this is the water-packed tofu. And it comes, as you know, in a nice big block. And I cut them about this size. And then in the pan, what I'm going to roll it in is nutritional yeast, which is one of my favorite seasonings. And you use about a third of a cup or so for a block. And then a tablespoon or two of chicken seasoning. This is the McKay's chicken seasoning. Or you can use any kind of vegetable chicken seasoning. And stir that around. And then you just dip it like this on both sides. And then put that on a prepared pan with just a little olive oil on the pan, and then just drizzle. And I didn't bring with me, but what I use at home is, have you seen those soy sauce containers that has just a little hole at the top when you go into a Oriental restaurant? I keep olive oil in that. And so then you can just barely do the olive oil. It's right there at my oven on the top. And you bake that at about 350 for an hour, and it almost tastes like chicken. You said you loved chicken before. Now it has a nice, and make sure that it's nice and crispy. But have anybody cooked it like that before? Where you roll it this way? Yeah. Well, if you love tofu, you're going to really love this. And it's so easy. When I'm in a hurry, I'll come in and I'll put the tofu and the veggies in the oven. Then you can go for your walk or do whatever, and you've got about an hour before everything's ready. Okay, any questions about that?
No.
The other thing I love to do in the oven is beans. So I have a pot like this. This is a cast iron pot. You can tell I've used it forever. And put dried beans, 1 cup of dried beans, to 3 to 4 cups of water. And I usually forget to soak them. So I found that it doesn't really matter. And so you cook it with the lid on in an oven, and I set my timer for 3 hours. So I cook them, just put this in the oven for 3 hours and cook the beans. They don't boil over or burn. You may want to check them. Some of the beans need another cup of water when they start to get a little bit dry. Now, Joanne knows these precise measurements, but, you know, 3 to 4 cups. Now, for lentils or split peas, it's 1 to 1. So if you have the lentils and split peas, if you put 1 cup of lentils, it's 2 cups of water. But for dried beans like pinto and black beans, I would put 3.5 to 4 cups of water probably. It depends on how soupy you want them with that. For 350 for 3 hours. And I just put it on time bake, so I can put that in the oven and I can set the time bake for any time. So they could actually soak for a while and then the oven come on later if you have a time bake option. Yes. 1 cup for each cup of beans, 3.5 cups of water. It's kind of in between there. So I would probably put 3 cups of beans in this size with, you know, 11 or 12 cups of water would fit in there. But it's so easy. Yes. No, I just do them plain when I cook them in here. Now, if you're doing a soup, I do lentil soup in the oven like that, where you do the lentils and all the veggies, and then it can cook in the oven for an hour, and then I take it out and add the seasoning. Yes. Do I what? Do I pre-cook them? Pre-soak them, when I remember. But that's not real often. 1 hour. What did you say? For lentils, yes, 1 hour for lentils and split peas is what I do, yeah. With 2 cups of water, if it's lentils and peas, yeah. Okay, Sue, would you come up here, please? Okay, we have the opportunity, Vicki and I, of going to different supper clubs throughout the state, and we'd love to come to yours sometime. And I really enjoyed visiting Sue. Now, where do you live? I don't remember where I went.
Well, the church is First Flint.
Oh, okay.
So it's Flint Township. But I live in Lennon.
Okay. What inspired you to start this supper club?
Well, when Jesus heals you, I've been through the ringer with mental depression, and New Start healed me and the love of God. But that's part of New Start. And, you know, after Jesus heals you, you want to pass on that blessing to others. And so I just prayed and prayed. I said, Lord, and God really put on my heart that, you know, I've been doing Bible work forever, and I love it. But I wanted to work like Jesus worked. And so I wanted to combine more health because it demonstrates the love of God, and it shows the compassion of Christ. And I have just been so super pumped ever since I started this. And, you know, God has been doing amazing things because we've had like extravaganzas at our church, and we've had supper clubs at our church. But, you know, people from the church have been telling me, it hasn't been Susie, you know, people from the church have been telling me, said, we have never seen people coming out like this.
How many people have been coming to your supper club?
We have 30 to 60 people that come out, and we've been doing it every month, you know, pretty much. And I originally played for 30, you know, but that's been the minimum.
There were at least 60 there when I came.
There was over 60 when you came. Uh-huh. Yes, absolutely. And what is really exciting is that 3/4 of the people are from our community. Yeah.
So. And all ages. There were teenagers. There were older people. There were lots of men.
Oh, when I made the kale bruschetta that one night, I had a teenager there, and he was about 15, and he said, this stuff is so good. I can't stop eating it. And I thought, Gah! You know, when it's a teenager, you know. So I was really, really super excited. But, you know, I have found, you know, because I've been in evangelism for a while, the same techniques that we use, because this is health evangelism, the same techniques that we're using to get BibleStudy.com out, you know, I thought, well, I can do that, you know, with my New Start Club. You know, so I bought magnets. Of course, the conference is not subsidizing me, but, you know, I...
That's pretty sad.
But I know. We got to talk to them. But I got this through Vistaprint. Vistaprint is an excellent printing company, and I have my own
She has a little business card she carries with her everywhere she goes.
And I make postcards. I started getting it through Vistaprint, but...
And she gives them to people in line when she's at the grocery store.
That's right. You know, this one time I saw this lady, she was buying a slow cooker, and I said, oh, looks like you're going to do some serious cooking here. And she said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you got your crock pot, you're all set. And she said, well, yes, that's going to change my life. And I thought, oh. And I just happened to have in my purse one of my postcards. And we were just getting set to have our Mexican fiesta theme, because I always have a special theme, you know, and because I like to decorate and make it all look very beautiful. And she loved it when she came.
It was awesome.
but anyway, I think you came for the fiesta theme. Yeah. And so anyway, and I always make the food, you know, just glow on the postcard, you know, so I can just put it right in front of them. And as soon as people see that, ooh, I want that. And so she come out, and she's been coming up to every single one. And this is one seed I'd like to plant is, you know, we have done extravaganzas, and we've had people come by the droves. But they're an
Tell them what an extravaganza is.
Well, extravaganza is we have at our church school. And, you know, we fill up with lots of different tables for breakfast, lunch, desserts, juices, you know, that sort of thing. And we've had a lot of people come out. It's a one-day event. There's little samples just like for a cooking class, you know, and you can buy a cookbook. And they have been great. But we only see those people once a year. And my burden is building relationships. And, you know, because in Bible work, that's what we do. It's not just the information we're giving them from the Bible. It's they are connecting with me, the Bible worker, you know, and hopefully I'm connecting them with Jesus. But that's the same thing we want to do in health evangelism. We want to build friendships. We want to build friends for Jesus through everything that we do. And hopefully, you know, we can also make them hungry to know Jesus if they don't already. But
you also have the BibleStudyOffer.com available for them.
Yes, we have a gift table, and I always say that. Well, I always give away prizes. I always give a cookbook away, and I also give some sort of cooking device. But I also wanted everybody to have the opportunity to get a gift. So I tell them that. So I just have this nice gift table, and we have our BibleStudy.com, our little cards. We've put out like Hacksaw Ridge books. We've had the Passion book out. So I mix it up with health and with Bible gifts. So they can pick and choose. There's no pressure. But, you know, I'm just very perky and friendly, you know. And, you know,
really?
Invite them to take a gift before they go. And we have gotten out so much gospel literature, and we're making friends, and people are starting to talk to us about Jesus and their health needs and their spiritual needs. So I am really, really excited about what God is doing.
Yeah.
No, we are. I do, and I want to tell you about the reservations. We are free because I don't want that to be an obstacle. We're in the Flint area. It's a depressed area. But you know, the churches gives me some money, but I invest my own money because I believe in this so very much. And one of the things that I've done that has been very, very fruitful is this is an online place called Meetup. And Meetup is not free, but people go there to find a club or a class or an organization that they want to be part of and go to.
So that's M-E-E-T-U-P.
Yes, .com. Yeah, and they have two plans. I started out with the basic plan. It's $10 a month, and you can get 50 members that way. And when we first started, man, we just got tons of people. And they came, so I got from the basic plan, I got a good return. But right now, I am on the unlimited, so I can have unlimited amount of members. Because not every member will come to your class, but it gives them a place to RSVP. And I can connect with them, I can text with them, and I do. So even people who can't come out, because maybe things happen, life happens, you know? But I still always keep tabs with them. So it's an ongoing friendship ministry. And we could use it for, I told my pastor, we could use this for evangelism, for, you know, the Revelation seminar, to put things up there. Because it's, like I said, 3/4 of the people that are coming out to our meetings are coming through Meetup. So I really, you gotta use a lot of different ways. We can't put our posters up in our area. A lot of grocery stores have stopped doing that. The farmers market downtown Flint at first took our flyers, but now they have their own class, which is not plant-based, you know, and so they're feeling threatened, you know. Woo-hoo! But we can't do that. But the health food stores is a very fruitful fishing hole. But for me, I just feel, just like for BibleStudy.com, take your literature with you everywhere you go. Look for opportunities. And I just tell people, I'm a cooking club coordinator. And it's amazing how especially women, that's how they respond. You know, or I just say, do you like to cook? You know, and of course, they see, I was picking up some manure from my garden the other day, and the guy that was loading it up for me, he saw this sign on my van, and he said, he says, is that your business? And I said, well, it's not really a business. I said, it's my passion, and I said, it's a ministry I have, and I told him about our next class, but he has a friend who's just found out he's got prostate cancer, and it was right before our class where we were talking about that, you know. So you think he came out? Yes, absolutely. There are so many people who are hurting, and I want to, and I know you do, you want to keep them out from going to the hospital. And when, you know, even if they are, you know, we have the tools. God can heal through plant food. And our motto in our club is love food that loves you back. So loves you back with health, right?
Thank you, Sue, for sharing with us.
You're welcome. I could just talk.
Thank you, Sue. Isn't that exciting? Yes. The Meetup, meetup.com. It's a way to get people online to be interested in your class. Dessert Bites is coming up. All desserts. New Start. That's in Flint. So on Friday, we're going to have a time of discussion here on how to get supper clubs started, how to do ministry in your church. So come and join us. We're going to have lots of discussion at that time. Okay, next up is Stephanie Howard. And Stephanie has written a couple of amazing books. This one's called Kidlicious, and we're going to have recipes from that one tomorrow. And this one is Give Them Something Better. And this is our new cookbook that we are featuring through Michigan Conference that Stephanie Howard has put together. It is an awesome book, and she's going to be telling you different features in that book as she shares her recipes with you today. So would you like to come get hooked up?
Okay, so I'm curious, why do you guys come to this particular seminar at camp meeting? So I'm going to give you three options, and then you can tell me if there's a fourth option. So the first option, do you come because you just love to cook and you want new recipes? Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. So the second option is you really hate to cook, but you're hoping to get inspired to actually cook. All right, more of those. Okay. I'm kind of one of those. The third one is you have a health ministry at your church and you just want some new ideas and things to going on that. Okay, a good mix. Some of you guys didn't raise your hands. So why are you here? Yes, ma'am? More recipes. You don't, vegan recipes. So you don't love to cook and you don't hate to cook. You're just here to look at recipes. Okay, so while we're here, I'm hoping to inspire you all to get involved in your health ministry at your church. Yes, sir? Huh? You have seizures and you're hoping that a change of diet would help? I don't know about that, but Miss Evelyn might. I cook. I don't really have any medical credentials. I just know from
look and see where you are.
Studying. Thank you. Okay. I'm right here. Okay. I'm looking. I need this thing here. All right. So I forgot what I was saying. Oh, I don't have any credentials here, so I'm just not yet. They want to see this first. Okay. I feel like I'm moving in like I like packed a whole suitcase or something. All right, so I am Stephanie Howard again. I wrote cookbooks. The particular recipes that you have today are summer salads. I do. I do a supper club. I used to do a supper club. Now I have joined a church that has a supper club, and Miss Alma runs our supper club. She does a great job. We just started it up, and all kinds of people come, right? How many people do we have coming? Some 60-some people just like that started coming. We don't like live in a big area. We like live here. So it's not like we have, you know, people to draw from. We don't live in a big city like Grand Rapids or something. So I have put together a supper club booklet on how to have a successful supper club based on my past experiences, but it's not ready for camp meeting. I'm sorry. We cover topics in the book like the purpose of a supper club, schedule for a supper club, how do we get people to come to a supper club, how do we get people keep coming to a supper club, what kind of food should we serve, what about what kind of topics. But, you know, the whole book, the best part of the book is in the last appendix. It has a menu plan and ideas for each of the Balanced Living tracks. So if you use the Balanced Living tracks for your supper club health talks, then you have a menu and some ideas to do that and make it more interactive and more fun. So hopefully that'll be ready soon. Okay, so today we are going to make several salads. What I've done for you the next 2 days is serve what I would typically serve at a supper club. I like to serve a fresh salad, usually a main entree, and two, and sometimes a side dish or two, and then a dessert. Today, I also do themes, and so my theme for today is summer salads. It's summertime, you don't want to do a whole lot of cooking, and sometimes you just want to eat a lot of fresh stuff because it's available now. We live in Michigan, and you don't always get a lot of really good fresh. So, I've also been doing an unofficial and unscientific experiment at our potlucks every Sabbath, and I see that most people don't bring salads. Now, our potluck is going to get lots and lots of salads. But most potlucks don't have a lot of salads. And usually the salads don't get taken as much of because they are, you know, they're lettuce salads, but then they have, you know, a bunch of dressings beside them. And I don't know, people just don't seem to want to take the time or the trouble to do it, so then the salads get left. So I like to pre-dress my salad and make a special salad, and they seem to get always gone. And I also put lots of goodies in my salad, and that's what I'm going to show you today. Mainly what I want you to take away is not necessarily the recipes for the salads, but the goodies that you can put into a salad. You can throw them into any salad. You can make a bunch of them up ahead of time, and you can freeze them and just put a handful in your salad whenever you want a salad, and you don't have to make it every single time, right? Because if you had to make it every single time, you probably wouldn't make it. So today I am using... The Santa Fe salad has what we call cilantro lime soy curls in it. It's like a cilantro lime chicken salad, only we're not using the chicken, and I am using soy curls. So does anybody know what soy curls are? Most people. Does anybody not know what soy curls are? A few people? I forgot to bring a dry soy curl, but here is what a soy curl looks like. it'll be yucky when you get it.
There you go.
Okay. A lot of people don't know how to cook soy curls properly. They sometimes can taste bland or kind of like tofu. They're basically the same thing as tofu, only different. They're made out of soybeans. The only ingredient in them is soybeans, so they're really healthy for you. But if you get them, they're dry. They're dry. They're dehydrated. I have added water to these and soaked them, and then I drained all the water out. I kind of squeezed the water out because I don't like them to be too mushy. And so that is a soy curl, and we're going to cook these up today. And I'm guessing this is not ever going to get hot enough to use, but we're going to give her a whirl. And this is a method that you could use for any flavor. Because what I do with my soy curls in this recipe, and I'll show you another one tomorrow, is I cook my soy curls until they're browned. And while they're dry, they'll brown quicker. So then they'll be nice and brown. That gives them a nice flavor. And then I pour a little bit of the salad dressing that I'm going to use in the salad on them. And that's enough flavor that you'll need to, so you don't have to make up two different things and add a bunch of different things to it. So while these cook, we're going to make up the salad dressing. So I'm going to move this here. We're going to. And again, you don't have to make your own salad dressing. I like to make my own because I can adjust the amount of oil that I use in my salad if I use the salad dressing. If I buy a bottle of salad dressing, it usually has a lot of oil and a lot of vinegar. I don't like a strong vinegar taste in my salads, so I use lemon juice in place of vinegar in any salad dressing that I'm making. And I also use less olive oil, and I'll show you a little trick to make it so it still sticks to your lettuce. So the first ingredient in my salad dressing, it's on page, I don't know where it is on yours. Cilantro lime salad dressing. First page. I am going to put in half of a jalapeno. Again, this is optional. If you don't like it real spicy, you don't have to add it. If you like it real spicy, you can add a whole jalapeno, or you can also add the seeds. I took the seeds out of mine because I don't like it too spicy. I like to be able to eat it. Here's some garlic. I'm using some minced garlic for the sake of time. And then I'm adding in one scallion, also known as a green onion, or a spring onion, some people call them. And then we're going to add in lime juice. And I have some balsamic vinegar. The balsamic vinegar is optional, but usually salad dressings have a vinegar in them. And if you're serving it to people who aren't used to eating a healthier diet, they may miss a little bit of that bite. So most of my recipes are recipes that I would serve to a guest. They're healthy, but also I try to make sure that they will suit the standard American diet palate as well. Because Sister White tells us, and this is an interesting quote, and I'll quote it for you. I hope it's not taken wrong. She says, she says that the health reform diet, while certain foods the health reformer will really relish, they'll love them, but they'll be insipid to the typical person because their taste buds are so perverted by all the other things. So I try to make a bridge recipes, and kind of what mine are, that will kind of suit any palate. It seems to work, and hopefully it does. So here's some salt, and this is some honey, and I'm guessing it's going to be really stuck in here because I stuck it in the refrigerator. Oh, that's good. I only need part of this. It spilled too fast. I had my honey in a big. Around here, we have a lot of bee farmers. Is it a bee farmer? Bee, is that how you say it? Beekeepers. There you go. And so I get these jars of honey, and so they're hard sometimes to pour. So I got too much honey in my little container there. And then I'm going to add some olive oil. And we're going to blend it up. So let's do that.
Okay.
Now, I didn't add a whole lot of olive oil to this recipe because, again, I wanted, told you I wanted to adjust my olive oil. I don't want to put too much oil. The problem with using less oil in a salad dressing is it makes it runny. The oil helps it to emulsify and kind of thicken up a little bit, and that thickness helps it stick to your vegetables. But if you don't use any olive oil or any oil at all, then it will kind of just run off to the bottom and cool up. So I put a little olive oil in, and then I use something called xanthan gum or guar gum. I just use a tiny, tiny little bit. It'll thicken it up just enough so it sticks to everything without adding a lot of extra fat. So you can do, that's just a way you can kind of healthy up your salad dressings. And so I'm going to do that, and we'll see what happens because I forgot to bring a little spoon. So we're just going to dump it all in. Ready? Any health food store will have it. This came from Country Life, I think. As you can see, this jar has been around for a while. It lasts forever, and you only use like an eighth of a teaspoon, so it doesn't, you don't like run out of it very often. So if you live around here, we have it at Rogers. If you live in like Whole Foods would have it, or wherever, you know, wherever you do your, wherever you buy yeast flakes, you can buy xanthan gum. There you go. Oh, I forgot. It's not cilantro lime dressing without, that's correct. You guys are so smart. Okay, let's put the cilantro in. One thing that if you want it to look kind of pretty is if you, when you get the cilantro in there last, you just pulse it a little bit and then it kind of chunks up the cilantro and leaves a little flecks in it. Kind of the flecks make it look pretty. Okay. So that's ready, and this is not even close to ready. So we're going to move on. I'm going to let that cook for just a minute. I'm going to kind of tidy up my space, and I'm going to show you something I just learned that I thought was extremely brilliant, and I'm like, why didn't I not think of that before, right? So let me just get rid of all this. I don't need that. And hopefully that'll cook while we go. Okay, so here's our salad. It's hot. Anyway, let's do the salad this direction. This camera needs to be a wide angle camera. You are talented. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, so in my bowl, I've already added my lettuce. I used romaine lettuce, and I also added cabbage. I like to add cabbage to my Mexican salads because it adds a little crunch. It also adds a little bit of more fiber and adds a little bit more nutrition because, you know, romaine lettuce has nutrition, but it has a lot of nutrition, so why not add something more? Another thing that I've done for this particular recipe is sometimes I'll, you know, slice up some spinach and put it in there, just make a little green. Any type you can get dark greens in there, you're better off, right? So I do that. And then my avocado is going to go in here. And you know how we usually cut the avocado and then we have to use the knife or whatever? They show you use the knife and go like this, and then you twist it and then the pit comes off. That is totally not safe. I have nearly killed myself that way. So it might be just me. I don't know. But I found this just this really brilliant thing, okay? So you cut it like this, like you do this way, and then you also cut it this way. So then it's in four pieces, and look, you don't have to worry about this silly little pit coming out. Is that not brilliant? Shouldn't somebody have told me that like 20 years ago? But nobody did. Okay. And then all you have to do is, you know, kind of do this thing, and then peel off your avocado. That, see? Brilliant. Somebody was really brilliant. And then I just throw in some beans because what on Monday we learned that throw beans in everything. So let's put them in the salad. Good idea. And then we stir it up. Okay, I'm going to pretend like my sweet curls have brown on them. So when you look at them at home, it's first starting to get hot. You know what, I might do it. It's starting to get hot. I'm debating, what would you suggest? I can either go ahead and do this now, or because my pan's hot, my next thing I'm going to show you in the pan will already be hot and it'll get done. Do you want to see me finish the next thing or finish this thing? Okay, so what I would do at this point, I would cook this until you see brown. You want them to be brown, like you've, you know what brown is when you're cooking something. What is that? What do people say? The BBB, anyway, I can't. Never mind, bad joke. Okay. And then I would just pour a little bit of the salad dressing on these, and I would cook it until it kind of all dried up and soaked into the soy curls. And then I would put the rest, I would put these in here and put the rest of the salad dressing on and stir it up. All right? So we're going to do this. I'm just going to do, oh, a little trick. These make them taste more like meat-ish because, you know, I don't know why. The smoky chipotle, the smoke flavor tends to make people think they're eating meat, even they're not. I add a little bit of the smoky chipotle to my soy curls just to kind of give them a little smoky flavor and make them feel like they've got, you know, something substantial. All right.
All right. Does this take another?
Yeah. And I need the... I need liquid aminos and the blender. The blender, too. I'll make you work today. Okay. So she's going to come and take these soy curls away, and we're going to make tofu. So the next... Okay. Oh, I forgot to ask you all. Did you all like the salads? Which one was your favorite salad? You can't be... They all can't be your favorite. The one with what? The soy curls. You like the soy curls? Those are really tasty. Tomorrow I'm going to show you a similar thing, but we're going to make a BLT pasta salad, and the soy curls are going to be the B part. They don't really taste like bacon because bacon's usually crispy and stuff, and you know, it's soy curls. It's not bacon. But if they taste really, really good, and those are good in any salad because they add a nice sweet and salty kind of touch to your salad, and you know, that's always good. Yes, ma'am? I don't know anybody like that, Mary. What? Some people are saying parsley. This particular recipe, you could probably just leave the cilantro out and just have a nice lime dressing for your... Or in the cookbook, in this one here, Mary, there's a recipe for taco ranch, which would be really good on that salad also. It's a variation of the ranch dressing. Something about this cookbook, which is really, really great, and I'm really glad that somebody thought of it, is that there's lots of tips and variations to change up a recipe to make it different. So like the ranch dressing, you can make a taco ranch or add different things to it. So this recipe is actually from Kidlicious. It's from this book. Because I'm of the opinion that children like vegetables. And if we tell them that they like vegetables, they'll think they like vegetables. If you tell them they don't like vegetables, then they'll think they don't like vegetables, right? So just say, oh, these are great. Wait, yes, ma'am. All right, let me see. Do you? Oh, good. That's positive. All right, and so in this cookbook, there's a couple of salads. The BLT salad is in here that you're going to have tomorrow, and this particular salad. And I think sometimes kids like vegetables when they're with noodles because kids all like noodles. So that's why we added noodles to our stuff. This is Asian noodle salad. And I'm still getting feedback, aren't I? Maybe I should move it further down. Maybe it's just too close. What do you think? Is that better? Can you hear me now? Are we okay? Miss Nancy can't hear me. It's okay. Where? Here? Is that better, you think? Okay, there we go. I don't have to look good, I just have to cook good, right? Okay, so what we're going to do is the Asian noodle salad, and we are going to do the tofu part. Now this again is a recipe that you can put in any salad, and some people will put, honestly, some people will put plain tofu in salads and different things, and they think, oh, that's great, but I honestly don't. I have a tofu problem. I don't know if that's the right word for it. When I first became vegetarian, I was raised in a meat and potatoes family. We were not Seventh-day Adventists. We were not really Christians, to be honest. We ate what everybody else eats, you know. And when I became a vegetarian and then a vegan, I had to figure things out. And tofu, I would go through recipe books and just like, oh, that's tofu, and I would just like skip past that page. But I learned that tofu can taste good. And so what we're going to do here, we're going to see if we can do it. This thing is a bother to me. I'm not going to move it. You got me covered. Okay, so we're going to cut this into cubes. And the best way, I sometimes think faster than I talk. Is that possible? Yes, it is. So my tofu here, I'm still getting feedback. I soaked overnight. You don't have to do it overnight. I wrapped it in a towel. He's going to fix it. He knows stuff. I wrapped my tofu in a towel to dry it out. And this particular tofu, thank you. This particular tofu I just left overnight because I made up my recipes last night and stuck them in the fridge. I just wrapped it up and stuck it in the towel. It dries it out. When it's dry, it cooks faster. And it also, it's not mushy because nobody likes mushy tofu. Well, somebody does. I don't care for mushy tofu. So I dried it out overnight so it's very dry. And then I'm going to cut it. Here, I'm just making squares. I cut twice that way. So, see? Like a little book. And then I do it this way. Oops. I'm going to make big squares just right now so I can be done. And then I put them in a little container. And this doesn't have to sit for very long, but I like to let it sit for a few minutes, so I usually make my dressing while it's doing this. I put a little bit of Bragg's. The recipe calls for a quarter cup of Bragg's, and that just seasons it up. It makes it salty, and I just let it kind of soak that way for a few minutes. And this is soy sauce, for those of you who don't know. It's a little healthier version of soy sauce. It's got less sodium and stuff in it, so that's what I use. You can, if you're cooking for a non-Adventist group or non-healthy group, you can let it tell them to do low-sodium soy sauce and they can buy it at their grocery store. But I have been able to see this at some grocery stores, depending on where you live. Okay, now it's time for salad dressing. This is a peanut dressing, and in our peanut dressing, So we started with the tofu and the Bragg's. You're cooking your pasta now, but I already cooked the pasta. And then you add in, you start making your dressing, which is going to be peanut butter. I'm going to run over here. Grab a spoon. Because the peanut butter is not going to come out. I like to use natural peanut butter. This is Smucker's because it's my favorite. But there are other natural peanut butters that are good. These are the kind that you have to stir. I know, you don't have to get that kind, but I like that kind. If you get that kind, you can buy this really cool thing on Amazon that stirs your peanut butter. You put it in, and it has a lid. You have to get the right kind that fits the lid that you buy. You put the lid on, and it has a little thing that goes in, and then you just like crank it. And it doesn't spill out the sides, and it's so cool. But you look up peanut butter stirrer on Amazon if you are concerned about, pardon? So when I cooked for Emanuel Institute. Emanuel Institute is Michigan Conference's Bible school, and I used to cook for them, and we tried so many ways to get this peanut butter stirred. We had one lady, and it was really kind of funny. You know how you have a mixer, a hand mixer? Well, she put one thing on the hand mixer and then stuck the other one into the peanut butter jar. That was, it was fun. It was so fun. It was a little messy, however. She actually did a really good job with it. It was way better than I would have done. I can't even stir a salad against getting stuff on the countertops. That was honey. A little bit of honey, sweetener. Salad dressings generally have a sweetener in them, so I like to try to use honey when I can. And this is some garlic, because everybody likes garlic. Right? Right. Good, good, good. Here's some chicken style. Oh, I do chicken style seasoning for the broth, chicken style seasoning plus water. So there's chicken style seasoning plus the water for the broth. If you're cooking again for non-Adventist people who don't have access to chicken style seasoning, just have them use vegetable broth, low sodium vegetable broth from the grocery store. You do these cooking schools or supper clubs for lots of people, they don't know some of the same stuff we know. You show them yeast flakes, and they're like, you know, that looks like fish food. What is this, you know? You show them, you tell them chicken style seasoning, and they're thinking, you know, the bouillon cubes at the grocery store. And so you need to clarify and try to help them find things that they can buy at their local grocery store. Because if they have to make a special trip, that was ginger. If they have to make a special trip to the health food store, they may not try the recipe. Certain things that you can't deal with, and certain things you can, like, you let them know, you know, to make one trip to the store, buy a bunch of it, and you have it on hand, like yeast flakes, because yeast flakes are really, really good. So this is, anybody want to guess? Oh, you're right. I'm so glad. So that is sesame oil. And this one is Bragg's. The sesame oil is a toasted kind. Not all sesame oil is toasted. Toasted is better because it has more flavor. And there's some lemon juice. And then we just blend it up. Okay, so while that's going, I'm going to go ahead and start this. I'm just going to dump this in here. Oh, see, it sizzled. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for sizzle. And so I'm going to just let that cook for a minute, and I'm going to blend. So it's going to be loud for just a minute. You notice this recipe, because there's peanut butter in it, you don't have to add oil to it, like, you know, olive oil or whatever, so you don't have to do that. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to let this stuff cook for a little while. And while this is cooking, I don't have to cook anything for my next next salad. I'm going to just let this cook. And then I'm going to mix up the salad after that, okay? So I'm going to put this here. And I'm going to get rid of all of this stuff so that it's clean and tidy. Because we like clean and tidy, right? And then I need all of those. We're going to get busy now. This particular recipe is a good recipe. It's not a, I don't know, what do you want to say? There's lots of fun stuff in this recipe. This is why I wanted to make this particular salad, because we're going to put tofu roni in it. It's like a pepperoni that's made out of tofu. And Amma's had it. And we're going to make the fake feta. And these are two things that go in any salad that are really good. And the feta, the fake feta, is in the Something Better book. And you can put that in any salad. You can put it in anything that you would do Mediterranean. It's got a really nice texture, really nice flavor, and you'll be happy that you did that. And then the tofu roni also is one of those that you can put in a lot of things. You can make pizza rolls or make a pizza with it or put it in a salad, whatever you want, to add some protein to make the salad more filling. The salads that we're making today can be a full meal. You've got your protein, you've got your salad, or your vegetables. It'll be good. And so we're going to make first the tofu feta, because it's super easy, and I'm going to kind of go like so. I can, you guys should really see me in the kitchen. I get stuff everywhere. like here. So the feta is really super easy to make. Again, I drained it. Again, the same thing I did last time with a towel. And in my container here, I put my liquid ingredients. The fake feta is on probably the last thing in your booklet. Next to the last thing, Tofu Reuters fake feta. And so in this, I have lemon juice, water, olive oil, and then I'm going to just add, I mean, like, this is so easy. And you can make this ahead of time. You can stick it in your fridge and just leave it there. And I put it in almost, if I have it on hand, I'll put it in any salad. It's got quite a lot of salt in it, but you're just getting little bits and pieces, so it's like you're just flavoring your whole salad with the little pieces of tofu. In the, do you remember the salad that you tried that had the little tofus, the tofuronis in it? Did you like the tofuronis? Yes? Do you remember the little white chunks in there? That was your feta. All right. Garlic. Okay. And so once you do that, and you stir that up, I'm going to stir that up. And then all you have to do is crumble your tofu in there and stick it in the fridge. How hard is that? Yes, so then I just kind of go like this. And if you get big chunks, it's okay, because you can always do it. Yes, ma'am? Just from the refrigerator. I don't usually freeze my tofu ahead of time. It does. You can do that. It changes the texture. It makes it a little more chewy, sponge-like, more sponge-like. So I have not... I don't usually do it, mostly because I don't even think about it. I forget. I just grab tofu out. I want to have it ready, and so that's what I do. So here's your tofu feta. It's all done. The recipe is on your sheet. It's also in the Something Better cookbook. And then you just stick it in there. It's nice if you can have it done about 24 hours. That way it has time for the flavors to kind of get all melded. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, so she has a tofu press, and you can get those online too, and it helps you press out press out the liquid out of your tofu so it's drier. I'm going to move this over here. So we're still working on this. I'm going to let this keep going. It's starting to brown a little bit, but you notice when I made this tofu, I didn't put any oil in the pan. If you use a nonstick pan, you don't need any oil. It's just a dry pan, so you're not adding any calories or fat to the recipe. So now we're going to make the tofu roni. Again, this is a recipe that you make ahead of time, and you stick in the freezer, and you have it when you need it. And this also is very simple. You just get it out of here. I'm trying to get it out without spilling all the water into it. Just do it. So I just put it in here. I'm making a half a batch today. It's got 1 pound of tofu, or they don't make them in pounds anymore because they're trying to save money. 1 14-ounce package of tofu. This is a little honey again. Again, it's nice to live around here because we have lots of honey. This is some anise. This is some crushed red pepper. This is what makes it spicy. Was it too spicy for you when I made it to what was in there? I don't, but I put the wrong thing in there then. Oops. Let's see. I did the tofu, the salt, the red pepper flakes. Let's just go in order. I ran out of mustard seeds, so there's not any in this batch, but you had some in yours. Fennel seeds, I'm out of fennel seeds also. I just used all my stuff up. So that's... Okay, that's sweetener of choice. There it is. Okay, good. Paprika. And sweetener, anise. This is liquid smoke. Again, the smoke helps it taste more meat-like for some reason. And then this is garlic. And then all you do is blend her up. Hang on. It's backwards. There we go. I know, I can't get it off. There it goes. I had it backwards. I just wanted to get really messy today, that's all. There we go. Let's try it. It worked. All right, so there, that's tofurony. That's all you have to do. We're going to take it out of here, and we're going to put it in on a tray, and we're going to bake it. And this is what it looked like before it went in the salad. Just a little, I just cut it up into chunks. Almost like a crouton. Little. It's just tofu, so it adds a nice protein and flavor, and a nice little salty little bit to add to your salad instead of adding bacon or croutons. Croutons, although they taste really good, like the bread croutons, they are really high in fat usually. You would think that they could make bread, you know, less high in fat, so. And then all you have to do is like spread this out, and you want to make it thin. And you try to make it kind of even all the way through, that way it cooks the same. Cook it for about a half an hour to 40 minutes, depending on your oven, until it's dry. Now, you could put it in a, I thought about a dehydrator. The only thing with a dehydrator is it's going to make it really dry and kind of crunchy, which if you want that, that would be hard. It's really tasty. This particular method makes it a little bit meatier, so it's like soft, and it's not dry and crunchy. It's kind of like a piece of pepperoni would be. Yes, that's what I would suggest. I would suggest you make a big batch. That's why there's 2 pounds of tofu per recipe. You could make them and freeze them. And then you can make 2, 3, 4 salads or 5, you know, if you just make a little salad at a time, you can just take a handful out and throw them in your salad. Because who wants to, who wants to make this every time you make a salad? Nobody does. So that's why we're going to make a bunch and get it out of the way, right? Okay. I think the next thing I invest in is going to be a new one of these heat pad things. Because this is totally not even cooking your little stuff. I'm going to remember that for tomorrow. Anyway, it's starting to brown. You can see how it's getting a little bit brown. You can't see real well, but it's getting a little bit brown. You want it kind of brown on all the sides and just kind of give it a shake every once in a while and let it brown. And then we're going to go ahead and put together our, the salad dressing for this recipe.
Does this need to be taken out?
Yeah, kind of. All right. I feel like I'm running a marathon. Do you guys feel that way? I didn't really mean to make it seem like it was so hard, but it's really not that hard. I think I tried to do too much at one time, you think? Yeah. Okay, so next time we'll learn from our mistakes. But today we're going to make Greek salad dressing. In my Greek salad, I'll talk to you a little bit about lettuce. Obviously, we all know that iceberg lettuce doesn't really have any nutrition to it. But it does have water, and it's not all bad. But I don't generally use it, even though my husband really, really likes iceberg lettuce. I try not to ever get it. But do you see these little guys in here? This is what my husband and a lot of people I've talked to just recently call weeds. And they say, so why do they put weeds in my salad? They do not want weeds in their salad. And so to try to accommodate and get people to take salad. People who will pass by a salad, I have someone, I won't mention their name, because somebody here might know them. They'll go through, and if they love to eat salad, but if there's weeds in the salad, they'll just skip the whole salad altogether, because it's just not good in their mind. Now, so what I like to do is use a lot of romaine lettuce, throw a few weeds in, so that they might get used to the idea. And that way they're getting some of the nutrition, but they're also, their taste buds are kind of adjusting. I think a lot of it is texture. These things aren't real crunchy and they don't have a lot of, so when you add things that are crunchy to it, it helps a little bit. But there's also an appearance. If somebody's got in their mind that they want, you know, an iceberg lettuce, the closest you're going to get is romaine. So you want to kind of, when you're cooking for people who don't eat Adventist food, because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't raised Adventist. And, okay, so again, don't take this wrong. Adventists eat really weird food. And so you have to bring them along slowly and gently as they learn to eat this way. Because it's really good, it's really healthy, and we like it, but some new people coming in might, you know, it's too much at one time. So we kind of do little bits, little bits, little bits, and pretty soon they'll be eating their 50 grams of fiber, and they'll be eating their weeds for salad, but it just takes time. So when we do our cooking school, I at my previous supper club, I called it the Meatless Monday because I wanted people to know that we're not requiring everybody to be a vegan when they come to the supper club. We want them to, you know, if they eat a plant-based diet one day a week, then they're, you know, 1/7 of the way to becoming a vegan. And then if they can add a second day, then they're 2/7 of the way, which is almost, you know, a fourth. So you just do one step at a time so that nobody is stuck or feeling like they can't accomplish it. There's been so many, I'm done in 5 minutes, right? Okay. So I'm going to stop talking now and we're going to make salad dressing. I was going to tell you a story, but I can't tell you my story. I feel so bad about the whole thing. Okay, so we're going to make this soup dressing is super, super easy. Again, it's for the Greek salad that we're making. So the Greek salad, all it has in it is some lemon juice. And obviously a little salt, a little oregano. Now, you don't have to do this in the blender if you don't want to get your blender dirty. I just thought about that. I do it because my blender is always dirty. But if your blender, you can put it in like a mason jar and just kind of go like this, and you're good to go too. So there's olive oil. And we're just do a quick blend on it. It turns a pretty nice little pale yellow color. I really like this dressing. This looks pretty. See? You can't see very well, but it's a nice, nice yellow color. And that's our Greek salad dressing. So in our Greek salad, we have our lettuce, our romaine lettuce, a few weeds, some onions and peppers, tomatoes, Kalamata olives, which is just a Greek olive. It's a purple one. You probably had one in your, did I say it wrong? And then this is the tofu feta. This is what it looks like when it's all cooked. It's not really cooked, you know. And this is your tofu. Then you just add those here. And you don't want the juice in here when you're doing your tofu feta. You just want the feta part. So you kind of do like so. And you add your dressing, which I may not add because then I can't eat it later. So I'm going to save that for later. But then you add that and you're all good to go. So let's recap. Let's start at the beginning. And I got 3 minutes. So we made a Santa Fe salad. And to that we added the cilantro lime soy curls, which we learned that we don't have to add the cilantro if we don't want to. One great thing about adding fresh herbs to your salad. I added fresh cilantro to the salad, and that adds, you can also add fresh parsley or fresh basil. It adds a nice, strong flavor and gives you a lot of flavor to your salad without adding a lot of the unhealthy stuff. And so that's a great tip. Any salad that you make, you could do that with. And so we made a cilantro lime dressing. We added that. One thing I do for that also sometimes is put some tortilla strips on there. I usually make my own, but we'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. We made an Asian noodle salad, which is great from the kids' cookbook because kids like noodles and kids like vegetables. We put tofu in there, which does not take this long to cook at home. You can usually have it done in about 5 minutes, and it browns up beautifully, and it tastes good. And we made a peanut dressing for that. If you do not want to make your own dressing, you can buy something similar at the grocery store, or a ginger dressing would be really, really good in that salad. And then we made a Greek salad with tofu, roni, and fake feta. Both the fake feta and the tofu roni are perfect for other salads, and you can put them in anything, basically. And it just makes a great salad. And remember to take salad to your potluck. Take a fun salad, a nice big salad, and we're going to have a drawing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's thank Stephanie. Isn't she an expert at this? Amazing. And I highly recommend her cookbooks are available in the back. They give them something better. This is an awesome gift for people who are moving toward a plant-based diet. It has some great stories in it, too, about how Adventists are part of the blue zones, and that's really cool. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing time that we've had here this morning. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to Stephanie and that she has shared them with us, and I pray that you would help us to remember all the things that we've learned and to put them into practice and so that we can enjoy this abundant life that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.